Robin Miller Brecker.
And I'm Karen Lenzer. Welcome to Seeking Center, the podcast.
Join us each week as we have the conversations and weed through the spiritual and holistic clutter for you. We'll boil it down to what you need to know now.
We're all about total wellness, which to us means building a healthy life on a physical, mental, and spiritual level. We'll talk to the trailblazers who will introduce you to the practices, products, and experiences that may be just what you need to hear about to transform your life.
If you're listening to this, it's no accident. Think of this as your seeking center and your place to seek your center. And for the best wellness and spiritual practitioners, experts, products, experiences, and inspo, visit theseekingcenter.com. Karen and I are always talking about energy. And if you're a frequent listener to this podcast, we are all made up of energy, and there is energy in literally everything around us, from other humans, animals, plants, planets, our houses, our cars, you name it, there's energy. And all of that energy impacts each and every one of us, our thoughts and emotions. Some of the times it will lift us up, and other times it may drain us or contribute to making us feel sad or overall down. What do we mean and what can you do about it? We have our friend, the spectacular Christine Lang, who is a medical intuitive energy healer and executive coach, back on the podcast to break it down and give you tools and exercises to keep all of your spaces energetically clean. Christine is a former attorney who discovered her intuitive and healing abilities as she pursued a cure for her own symptoms. Now Christine acts as a translator for a person's spirit, helping people understand the messages that their spirits are sending them through physical symptoms, patterns in their life, and difficult relationships. She provides guidance and healing so people can resolve issues and release stored tension, allowing the body's natural healing abilities to take over. Keep listening if you're looking for simple ways to feel better no matter where you are and to better understand how energy affects your every single day. Hi, Christine.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so good to see your happy face again.
And your calming energy. I have to say, before we even started, I was so scattered and you helped bring me back into balance. So thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
That's a really good place for us to start. And that's just defining what energy is. I think everybody has a slightly different definition of energy. How do you define it, Christine?
So I would say there's no one definition, but there are tons of energies around us. There are magnetic waves, there are radio waves that, you know, that your garage door opener uses, right? There's all these different types of energy that go through us. I think the energy that we're talking about when we're talking about affecting your energy are what Albert Einstein called your subtle energy bodies. And subtle energy, don't let the name fool you. It's not subtle at all. If you walk into a room and two people were arguing, you can feel that tension, right? And so that's subtle energy. So it is the energy that is built upon and stems from our thoughts and our emotion. And so that energy that's around us all the time, if you walk into the forest, it's vibrating at the heart chakra level and it's really neutral and clean, right? That subtle energy is like a big eraser on the chalkboard. I'm showing my age by even saying chalkboard, but it has that same effect of neutralizing any stress or tension you have, right? Same reason people like to be at the beach. There's so much subtle energy and it's vibrating at the heart chakra level and it helps our own energy rise up and vibrate at that frequency. And the frequency that you vibrate on, even our language is based in it. When we talk about, oh, I'm really feeling down or I want to cheer somebody up, we're referring to how high or low a person vibrates. And so at the higher you vibrate in general, the better you feel. And the lower you vibrate, the more your thoughts can turn negative. And yet we can vibrate in our first chakra, which is at the base of our pelvis. And that's a pretty low vibrational state. And it can be wonderful at Christmas time, or if we're all gathered around family and we're feeling this kind of really great foundational support. So no vibrational level is bad, just like no chakra is bad. But it's just noticing that your thoughts can be more expansive the higher up you vibrate. So in general, we want to raise our energy up. And the higher you're vibrating, the better you feel. Does that answer it?
Yeah. Which, number one, I would just say that I think that people listening, it's a great reminder, even though we've talked about it before, if you're listening to this for the first time, you may not have thought about energy in that way. So it's so helpful to have that context. And I think the second thing that I would like to ask is, why is it important to protect your energy?
So think back to high school science class where we're learning about protons and electrons and neutrons and how a unit of energy can have a charge of positive or negative. And likewise, our energy tends to be either positive or negative, right? There's probably some version of a neutral, but in general, it's either positive or negative charge to your energy. And that impacts your thoughts. It's a chicken and egg, right? You can be around negative energy, and then you're going to think more negatively. And as you think more negatively, you're producing more negative energy around you, right? And it's not that it's impossible to have a positive thought at the DMV, but it's not likely, right? So you walk into somewhere that's a government office and it's tons of bureaucracy, people are waiting in line, you walk in and groan, it's harder to have an optimistic thought there. Likewise, if you're at a dog breeder's house and she has 11 lab puppies and they're crawling all over you, good luck having a negative thought then, right? Because it's all this happy puppy heart energy. So you're naturally going to move your energy up and vibrate at the heart chakra level. And just having that understanding and that association of, oh, my energy can be positive or negative, and it's going to impact my thoughts, and my thoughts are going to impact my energy. Then you get more protective of who are you spending time with? What kind of energy are they outputting? Because every living thing, people, plants, animals, everything is taking in and discharging energy in every moment. The energy that you're taking in around you, if you're standing outside in nature, is neutral. There's not really a charge, or it's slightly positive. But if you're in a room full of people, now the energy's got a charge on it based on the conversation. And so that's why paying attention to the company you keep becomes so important. It's directly impacting your energy. You're standing in their energy field. They're standing in yours. Everybody's swimming in that same soup, and wanting to have it be as positive and inspiring as possible is good.
It's one of those things that I think about all the time. I have this post-it note that says, you are the energy you bring to the room. I try to remember that at all times because I can be responsible for my own energy. And I know what we're talking about today is twofold: awareness of your energy and then how you feel both in your space and in other people's spaces or public spaces. Right. And then also that idea of what happens when you're in those spaces. How does it make you feel? To your point, Christine, right, is it bringing you up or is it bringing you down? And then what are ways, and that we're going to talk about, what are ways that you can help to change that energy and neutralize it, so right, that you can come back to who you are and your own energy?
Yeah, I think ideally we want to be able to move in the world and go to the DMV when we have to renew our car registration, or go to these places, go to a hospital to visit a friend, right? Hospitals, they're so scary in terms of how much fear energy is there. Justifiably, people aren't going to hospital because they're having a great day, right? So yes, there's lots of fear and upset energy in a hospital. We want to be able to go and function and not be so impacted. Especially if you're on any sort of a spiritual journey, you're energetically sensitive, right? Those two go together. So your listeners are already energetically sensitive people. That means you're really being impacted by the energy around you. So it makes sense to start studying, how can I shield myself? How can I cleanse myself of people's energy that is negatively impacting me, so that you don't feel so vulnerable in the world?
Yeah. And another place, because I go to where you're talking about hospitals, the DMV, places like that. And the other place that always surprises me, that impacts me, not necessarily negatively, but I'm overwhelmed, is when I go to concert.
Oh, yeah.
When you're in that kind of large arena with the certain frequency of music that's playing, It's usually good. So it's not right to say that it isn't, but it's so overwhelming personally. And I have a feeling for those listening, I almost can't stop crying.
I have such a hard time. I don't really go to concerts anymore. I'll watch Taylor Swift's concert. I'll watch the movie, but I can't go, right? Because there's so you crying the whole time, positive and negative tears, right? The tears
exactly,
of joy, but also the upset of the people who are the frustrated musicians in the audience, the people who almost got to meet Taylor Swift once, and the person whose dog died yesterday, but darn it, she bought these tickets and she's coming. So she's bringing her grief with her. All the stuff. Last time I went to a concert, I stood on the street corner with a guy I was on a date with. And all of a sudden he said, why are you squeezing my hand? I said, what? Oh, because the guy to my right has drugs in his system, and my internal alarm bells went off of, I can just feel the frequencies are really discombobulated over there. And the guy in front of us has a lot of grief and anger, and I'm just not feeling safe. And I didn't even realize I was registered squeezing this poor guy's hand. I think I need to be done with big concerts. I can't handle all these people. And I didn't know to shield myself and stuff back then. And so then I was just vulnerable to whatever I walked through.
Does a concert, though, is that a good example of how energy is amplified? Because energy from the music, it's already a frequency, right? So it's, for me, it's like the perfect example to teach people what energy does and how it amplifies and how it unifies people together. So if there is emotion there, it's just going to amplify it even more, right?
And in a positive or negative way. And there can also be these ripples within that whole body of audience that everybody, let's say it's Taylor Swift, and everybody's loving the music. And yet there's a couple people who have had too much to drink, and one guy shoves another guy, and now there's this little bit of friction. So you get these little pockets of upset and stuff. Even though there's amplification and most of it's positive, you're still going to be impacted if you're anywhere near those little pockets of the negative stuff too. And it's just, it's a little bit of mob control, right? You can't predict how all that's going to go. So it's still best to just shield yourself energetically. Put yourself in a protective bubble, visualize that protective bubble so that you're not so affected by everybody else's energy.
Yeah. I know we're going to talk about energy clearing and all that, but can you talk about how negative energy and the anxiety, the fear, the anger, can it get stuck in a space?
How is probably a complex answer, but I will say it doesn't necessarily get stuck unless people keep repeating it and noticing. So when somebody says, oh, this old woman has haunted this house for 200 years, and I'm like, really? She's got nothing better to do for 200 years? Why wouldn't she move on and cross over and have another incarnation? This seems boring to just haunt this house. And what happens is people keep coming in and interacting with her. And there becomes this expectation they want to interact with her. So energy can stay, that I guess would be a definition of stuck. But if there's a pocket of negative energy somewhere, in general, it moves along. And the example I always use is if your neighbor is barbecuing hamburgers on his back deck, and that even if your windows are closed, you'll get a little whiff of that coming through your house just because hopefully it's not sealed airtight, right? You want fresh air coming in. And for an hour, you might have this little whiff of grilled hamburgers and then it's gone. And likewise, energy is always moving. So if it stays negative, it's because like at a hospital or something, there's new people coming in all the time who are bringing their own fear and angst and grief. Like when I go get a massage, when I walk into the room, the first thing I do is clear the room. Because a massage is, sometimes it's a release of somatic experience. And some people tell me I cry when I get a massage, or it really is a release for me. So I just want to clear anybody's angst that's in there. So not stuck in terms of, oh, I'm walking in, Bill got a massage there 2 weeks ago, and now I'm going to walk into his same energy. No, the energy does move along. But if there's a continual source of negative energy, or if it's a painful place, like at a graveyard, you might have a lot of grief there. But it's new grief coming in.
So let's talk about the two different types of spaces that we want to help people manage the energy within these spaces. And the first is when you're in your own space. So let's say you're home, you're alone, and yet you want to make sure that the energy around you feels clear and positive.
Yeah, as positive as you can make it. And one of the laws of the universe is energy follows intent. And by intent, I don't just mean a wish. If I say I intend to win the lottery tomorrow, I don't really mean it because I don't really believe that's true. It's a wish. But an intention, when I set a true intention, it's something that I yearn for and I believe I can accomplish. And so if I'm stating out to the universe, I want the energy in this room or this house to be neutral or positive. I want to clear it of any negative energy. The universe is happy to flip that switch, to flip any negative energy, flip the charge to positive. That is not a big ask. The universe rewards informed asking. So if we know what we're asking for and we make that request to the universe, unless it's going to interfere with somebody else's path, which we'll talk about in a minute in the other kinds of spaces, the universe is happy to do it, both because it benefits the whole planet to have more positive energy in spaces, but also it's an education for you. It lets you practice being a creator of your environment, of your space, of your experience. And the universe is all about that. So you can walk into a space, and if you're the only one in it, you can say, please cleanse this house of any negative energy. And it's not that energy leaves, it's that the charge flips on it and it becomes energy that's vibrating higher.
How easy is that?
It's super easy. And I'm cleansing my space all the time. And I'll be with a client, even over Zoom, and I'm absorbing a little bit of sadness because she's telling me about how sad she was when her dad died or whatever. And when the session is over, I clear my space.
Can I just say that's a great example of where people may not even realize energy is traveling through your electronics. So if you're on the phone with someone, if you're on Zoom with someone, FaceTime, that energy is coming into your space.
Yes. And it's less. The most energy transfer is when you're in person, when you're in front of somebody. It's like you and I are tossing a football back and forth, right? It's this big amount of energy and it amplifies a little bit each time. So if you're sending out some positive energy and I'm sending out some positive energy, then it amplifies and we both walk away with more than we started with, which is why we are driven to be social creatures, because it's an amplification and it feeds us both energetically. But if you're in the grocery store and a lady who's really short says, will you hand me those paper towels on the top shelf? And you say, sure. And you smile at her and she goes, well, you should have done that earlier. And she gives you negative energy back. Now you're disincentivized to help the next person because you gave away positive energy and you got negative energy back. So we need to track, what do these energy exchanges feel like? Right. In that instance, you want to clear yourself of negative energy, right? She might have just been having a bad day, but some of that landed on you. You clear that off, right? Tracking that idea of what does the energy around me feel like and how much am I getting from people? You get less energy from people over the phone or over Zoom, but there's still some transmission. And particularly if you care about the person and you're empathizing with them or whatever, yeah, you're going to pick some of that up.
Great. I would dare say that on a lot of these Zoom kind of calls, you can almost feel the energy, positive and negative, and it can get more intense, I think, because of the electronical nature of it. You are literally locked eyes. You do feel, I think, in a much more intense way. And I just love that even little tip in thinking about for those of us who are on Zoom calls all day long and have all these different meetings. How wonderful. What an easy thing to do at the end of each one of them. You're hanging up and just saying, I'm going to change the energy. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to reset for the next one.
Yeah. Just clearing your space like that, you'll notice you're not as tired at the end of the day.
Love that.
Because there's this heavy accumulation, especially in a corporate environment. People are bringing their managers their problems. They're talking about stuff because you're trying to problem solve. So it makes sense. But there's this kind of a little bit of accumulation of energetic grime that kind of weighs everything down by the end of the day. There's this exhaustion factor. So please cleanse this space, whether it's your home office, your whole house, whatever that is. If you're the only one there, you're allowed to clear the space.
And that example that you also gave of that there is air coming into your home, because we don't live in these vacuum sealed homes. There is energy coming in from the outside. And if you live in an apartment building,
you've got neighbors all around you and your neighbors have two teenage boys and they fight all the time. Okay, then there's this kind of pollutant, you might say, right? Energetically, there's negative energy coming through the walls. So you can do a permanent seal. And you can ask the universe, please just shield me from, if it's something that's a continual source of negative energy, right? If you live next to a hospital, there's going to be so many layers of fear coming at your place. You can ask for the sort of energetic wall, because there's not really anything for you to learn from being exposed to that. So something like that, where you've really got a continual source there, there's a domestic violence situation happening in the apartment down the hall. Just try to ask for a permanent shield for that, so you're not having to cleanse your space constantly.
And also, I know when you've spoken about this before, I love the example of your dog or cat or pet, how they are sensing energy. And so even when you can't see it, you may be feeling it, but they actually, I don't know that if they're seeing it, but when you see your dog, cat, pet, look over and you don't see anything, but they're like barking at it.
Or they get up and leave the room and they're like, why did both dogs and the cat all just leave the room, right? And then I'll just cleanse the room just because it, like you said, it takes 3 seconds to do it. Why not, right? Why not cleanse your space? They can see energy in a way that we can't see because they can see infrared. They see these different layers of energy than what we can perceive. And they also will react. Dogs in particular can sense when your heartbeat raises, and cats can too, but dogs sometimes feel more responsible for that. So if sometimes they kind of pace around, like check in and notice, is my own heart rate elevated? Oh, I think I might be picking up some stuff. And you just clear yourself and clear your space and see if that settles your heart rate back down.
And all you do is you just have to just say that one line.
And people try to make it more complicated because humans love rituals. And when I first started doing energy healing, like you put your hands in a bucket of salt and you got to do this and sage the room. And I'm like, I got time for all that. I am so impatient, right? And it's my spirit, luckily, is the same way. And she's, no, when you're working with energy, your listeners know about energy, right? So when you're working with, it's just about directing it. It's really there like putty in our hands to be worked with. And just like clay, it wants to be moved and shaped into whatever thing that it's going to be. And so the universe is absolutely cooperative with you making an informed request based on awareness. Now, we can't just say, please shield me from all negative energy for all time, because then we don't have to have awareness and the universe does not cooperate with that, right? So when I say do a permanent shield because you're living near a hospital or a prison down the street, then the universe doesn't need you to maintain daily awareness about what's going on there and how much negative energy is coming from there, because that's really not your role in this lifetime, is to be part of that. But monitoring how much negative energy your kids are bickering and putting together, or you and your spouse are bickering and putting together, that you need to maintain an awareness of. So you're not allowed to just make a permanent shield around yourself for all negative energy.
And we touched on this, but let's talk about the other type of spaces.
So spaces where you're not alone, the rule there is you can't interfere with somebody else's learning. And so if someone is allowed to, let's say you and your partner are sitting in a room and your partner's just grumbling and complaining about all the people at work and how awful they are and the government and politics and filling the room with negative energy, if you keep clearing the room, he doesn't feel the impact of being that way. He doesn't notice he starts getting tired. He doesn't notice he feels heavier. So now you're shielding him from his own learning. So you can't just go play cleanup after adults. If you had a five-year-old who's had a temper tantrum, you can clear the room from there, right? But adults were not allowed to interfere with their own self-awareness. Even if we think they're not getting a lot of self-awareness, that you still need the evidence in front of them. And so in those kind of situations, you can clear the room that you're in if you're by yourself. And if you're in a room with other people, you'll have to resort to shielding yourself by putting yourself in a protective bubble. Now, I put myself in a protective bubble and I'll say, please shield me from any energy that is not mine. Or I can say, please shield me from any energy that's not helpful to me. So now if my kids and I are talking and it's fun conversation, I don't need to be shielded from that. Happy to have that interplay. And when I go out in a public space, say I walk into the supermarket, I'm walking in with that shield. As soon as I get in my car, I have actually a little picture of a little shield, a little coat of arms, and I change the picture because every couple of weeks, I just stop seeing it. I stop noticing it. So I rotate the picture so that when I get in my car, I go, oh yeah, shield myself. Because I'm driving down the road on the way home and I'm like, why am I yawning and yawning? Oh, I didn't shield myself. And I bet I picked up that guy that I walked past. I saw him really grumbling into his phone. I bet I picked up his negative energy. And you can go back and track the unhappy looking people you saw, and you know where some of that stuff came from. But if you walk past somebody who's a heavy cigarette smoker and you just walk past them, if you have a sensitive nose, you'll notice, oh wow, my clothes actually have a little whiff of cigarette smoke. It's similar to people's energy, right? Mm-hmm. So think of that cloud around this guy of the cigarette smoke. It's similar. We're all walking around with our little cloud of the energy that is produced by the thoughts that we've had over the last few hours. And then as I walk past you, you walk past me, we're trading a little bit of that. And shielding myself from anything that isn't helpful to me just means if it's something positive and I pass Karen in the supermarket, she's having a great day, I'm happy to trade a little bit of that, right? I'm happy to be exposed to other positive sources of energy. It helps me figure out ways I want to vibrate and stretch and grow. But anything negative, I don't need to be exposing myself to. So if you're in a house with two kids and a pet and a spouse, you can clear the room you're in, or once they all go outside, to take the trash out, clear the house then, let everybody come into a clean space. But you're not allowed to go into your kids who are fighting and clear their room. You can teach them to do it and then they can request it. Or you can even say, you say to my kids, clean your room and then cleanse your room, because they have to clean up the room and then they got to cleanse the energy, because they would be in there arguing over these dumb video games and who killed how many soldiers or whatever. And at one point, my one son yelled, Mom, he's in my room and he's losing and he's polluting my whole room, filling it with negative energy. And I'm like, honey, get your act together or get out of his room, because that's not going to work. And he's fine. I'll clear up my act. And he figured himself out, got himself under control, stopped producing so much negative energy towards his brother and in the room. But that awareness of how you're impacting others, not just by yelling at them when you're in a video game with them, but also just that you're polluting their environment, I think was helpful for them to be raised with. Because now they're very conscious if they walk into another kid's dorm room, they're like, oh man, these guys, they don't take good care of themselves. And you can feel the energy in here. And it's just part of the whole spectrum of information that we take in when we walk into a space and it's impacting you. So the more awareness you have, the better the decisions you're going to make around it.
You also talk about sound and smell also being an impact. Can you talk a little bit about that too?
Yeah. So especially when you're in a house with other people, you can't clear the space for other people, but you can use kind of cheat tools to impact the energy and influence how those other people are interacting with the space and what kind of energy they're putting out. So if you have songs that they come on the radio when you're driving and you start bebopping and singing along, those probably vibrate at the heart chakra level, or they help you vibrate at the heart chakra level because you love them. So playing music that you really love, that your family loves, that really helps. And in the absence, if you don't want music talking at you all the time, you can just play nature sounds, because nature sounds, that kind of spa music, if it's playing in the background, it's usually pretty unobtrusive and people don't really notice it, but it starts creeping their energy up higher and they start vibrating higher and they feel happier. Okay. So I made sure that my kids, when they came home from school, when they were in middle school and high school, that I always had nature sounds playing in the background. And I had a scent in the room that was very clean and that I associated, it helped people vibrate at the heart chakra level. And probably the best example of that is realtors know, bake chocolate chip cookies and have them in the oven, because people tend to vibrate at the heart chakra level with that smell of vanilla and chocolate and baked goods. But you don't have to have cookies cooking 24/7. There's a kind of green tea incense that I burn a lot. I'm happy to share the link with you guys. You can post that for your listeners. It's inexpensive and it burns really clean and it smells really clean. And most people vibrate at the heart chakra level when they smell it. And having that reaction of people coming into my house and going, ah, when they walk in. And I don't live in a palace, right? It's not that my house was so amazing. It's that the energy feels clean and it's vibrating at the heart chakra level. People sometimes assume that because I teach meditation and I channel, that my house is going to vibrate really high. And what I found is if I have the house vibrating like that, one, it makes people really tired because it's exhausting to vibrate really high. And if they come in having just sat through traffic or figured stuff out and they're vibrating low, that's too big of a gap. Mm-hmm. And so when in doubt, keep your house vibrating at the heart chakra level. That's really the optimum gear for us to live in. Your body performs the best. You can go all day in the heart chakra level and just feel great. And it's a place that if your house is the heart chakra level, people just go, ah, and come right in with it. So that's the safest place to have your house vibrating.
Is there a color associated with the heart chakra?
Green is frequently associated with it, which green is really the color of balance, right? If you think of nature and how nature balances itself, people associate the color green with it. But I would say if there's a certain color that lights you up, go with that.
What about the energy of stuff? So in your home, how does that impact how you're feeling and your energy?
So I would say if you buy like an antique piece of furniture and you bring it into your house, you can feel sometimes if there's a lot of grief associated with it. If people didn't want to let go of grandma's things, but they didn't have a place to put them all, or the person who lived in the house went through a long protracted illness, and you can feel the heaviness sometimes that accompanies that. Now, eventually, because energy is always moving, eventually it will get replaced. And when people walk up to an old painting and go, oh, I can feel that this came from a house, that's a special gift. But in general, your energy is going to replace the energy of these things once you bring them into your house for a period of time. But when you first bring them in, it's worth cleansing them. I always say just cleanse of any energy that's not helpful to me and my family. So if there's a lot of joyful energy, like somebody told me they bought an antique crib and they're like, oh my God, it was like vibrating pink, happy energy because it held all these babies for this family that they knew. Great. Let's not cleanse that. Let's ride that wave. But antiques that you're not so sure about, I'd cleanse them just for good measure. And when people say, yeah, but I still have grandpa's watch and it always feels good when I hold it. And I'm like, that's because you keep imbuing it with loving memories every time you hold it. So yes, the energy moves and then you have your own and that's great, but it's recognizing your own influence of that too.
Yeah. And I feel like, again, not everybody thinks about those things actually do have energy attached to them.
Yes. I had a case where somebody bought this really pretty antique bookshelf and he started having nightmares about dying. I think that they found out later the guy whose house it came from, he was a lawyer and he died of esophageal cancer. And he started having dreams where he was choking and he was dying. And it was some of that energy. And we cleansed that bookcase and they stopped. There was enough. I think it was this guy's prize bookcase. It was gorgeous and hand carved. And I think there was this connection with this guy. Doesn't mean the ghost was there with it. It was nothing that dramatic. It was just in the room where the guy was dying and it was exposed to that energy for months and months. And there was enough of that residual. And this man was really energetically sensitive. And he started picking up on that in his subconscious. And then it shows up in his dreams.
Wow.
And that was able to be cleared.
Yeah.
Right?
As soon as we cleared it, he never had a nightmare again. Felt fine.
It seems to me like it would make sense for you to do that kind of energy work on your home when you moved in or an apartment as well, right?
Yes. When I go into a hotel room, I will cleanse it. Now, again, I can only cleanse that room. I have to be clear, I'm only doing that space. You can't clear the whole hotel. And you walk into the hotel dining room, you can't clear the whole dining room. Then you've got to put yourself in a protective bubble. So you're protecting your own experience, but you can't impact everybody else's experience.
Another question is when you are texting with somebody, let's say.
Yeah.
I personally find I can feel someone's energy that's coming through. how would you work or protect your energy? Do you have to be intentional then, knowing who you're texting with?
Okay, so yes is the short answer. And I will say, I teach a monthly class on everything that affects your energy called Your Energy Matters. And we've talked a lot about when you have a specific texting conversation that goes south, right? Starts off fine and all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is going off the rails. Then you can ask to be shielded from negative energy from that person regarding that topic, regarding that conversation. If it's because one person immediately put into the chat in that class, can I just ask to be shielded from all negative energy from my husband because we're going through a divorce? And the answer is no, because you need to maintain awareness of what does the energy feel like between the two of you right now? Because believe me, your kids are feeling it. So the universe wants you feeling it. But you can say, please shield me from any negative energy regarding that topic of how we're distributing our retirement funds and how that's going to be divided. We've argued about that. Now we're turning to the lawyers. Shield me from negative energy on that. So I have been texting with someone and it takes a turn for the south. And then I will just feel like I start feeling anxious. And then I have to separate. Is this just my projection? Oh, I bet I'm making this person mad. I bet this is happening. Or is it really what's coming at me? So I have to take a minute and actually feel, but I will shield myself just for good measure. It can't hurt. And now then I'll shield myself from negative energy from that person on this topic. Then I cleanse myself. We have to talk about that in a minute, but I'll cleanse myself. And then I feel what's left. What's left is me. So can I take a minute and explain about cleansing?
Please.
Yourself? So again, if energy is always moving, you're always taking in and discharging energy, but the majority of it stays in your body and is slowly replaced. You're only replacing every like 10% of it at any given time. So when you're cleansing yourself, you're choosing which energy gets released. So you're moving to the front, all the negative energy and pushing that out with the next exhale. So one of my favorite visuals that I'll use when I'm asking to be cleansed is I picture standing on a mountaintop and I'm full of holes like Swiss cheese and there's air coming in the back of me, coming out the front. And I just say, please cleanse me of any negative energy or please cleanse me of any energy that isn't mine. Right? And I'm just clearing all of that out and then I see what's left. And I'll cleanse myself multiple times a day. Because how many times a day do I go, oh my God, it's already 4 o'clock. I don't have time for this. In my head, I have a conversation about how there isn't enough time all the time. And I know I shouldn't do it. And I know I'm creating negatively and all this stuff. And still, here we go. And so I'm constantly hitting that reset button, cleansing myself so that I'm okay. Exhale, get centered.
Can you send positive energy ahead of yourself if you're going to a meeting, if you're going to a doctor's appointment, to help influence the energy where you're going to be and who you're going to be interacting with? Is there any benefit to you sending that positive? My mom used to teach me to do that if I was going to a meeting or if I was going to take a test or anything like that, to go ahead and send positive energy ahead of myself.
Okay. So how I would describe that is now we're getting into the role of us as creators and you're creating the outcome you want. So Tiger Woods was famous for saying that he would go to the golf course that he was going to play on the night before, and he would walk to each hole and imagine, send energy, imagine the ball going in from every angle so that the next day, all he had to do is get the ball on that track energetically. Michael Jordan used to do the same thing. He used to go wherever their team was going to play and he would make shots from every spot in the half circle. And he said, then I'd already energetically created the path. So all I do is get the ball and just visualize it going in. And that's how he made those impossible shots, because he's just getting the ball to the track that he laid energetically. So you could think of it as sending energy ahead, but I think of it as creating, right? You're using your energy to create. And so creating the outcome you want, I always say, if people can't imagine, I don't even know how I want this meeting to go. I just know I want it to go well. Then I say, imagine getting in your car afterwards and going, man, that went better than I could have imagined. Visualize an end result that's vague, but super positive, because the universe loves to show off. Give it a chance to show off. Sometimes I'll even say, okay, universe, wow me. And yes. I can feel like everybody goes, yes. Okay, let's do it. And that's like some of the creation lines that people say are this or something better.
Yes.
This is what I want for myself. But universe, if you've got something better planned, yeah, bring that on. So that idea of, I had to go for a mammogram recently and then they call you back, because which happens all the time. And then it's nothing, but then you got that stress and all that. So when I was driving there, I was like, I want to come out of it going, oh my God, that was so much better than I thought it was going to be. Not only am I relieved, but there was some little positive kernel. And when I went in there, the woman was lovely. She's from the same town where I used to live in Southern California, has family there. She told me a great restaurant in the area. We had this great connection. And yeah, all the results were fine. That's how the universe likes to show off and deliver. And I was like, well done, universe. That was good. And she just happened to be free in that minute when I came in. And they're like, oh, I didn't think I would take any more clients today, but I got assigned you. And right to the universe just worked its little magic. And I think those kind of times where you're just inviting the universe to co-create with you, the universe will jump in.
And even where you're having one of those days where everything seems to be out of control, right. out of your control. It seems to be, is what I'm saying. Yes. Yeah. And one thing after another seems to be going haywire. And personally, I felt like I was having that kind of day before this conversation. And I kept trying to catch myself saying, it doesn't have to be that way. I can change this. And it really wasn't until I got on this call and I'm having this conversation where I feel everything is so much better because we're talking about and we are actually clearing energy and it feels much more tangible to me.
And so what I would say about all that is when I start having a day where everything starts going haywire, the first thing that feels completely counterintuitive, because what feels natural to us is pedal the bike faster, just try harder, just scramble. We get into more action because that's what we've been taught is how you solve things, more action. And there's certainly times where that works. But so often when you try something and then something else doesn't work or this goes and you're like, this is almost getting improbable, but this level of haywire, that's when I feel like, okay, the universe is trying to tell me something. And because I won't listen, it's just getting louder. Mm-hmm. And then you do the counterintuitive thing, which is you stop and you get quiet and you get centered. And what I do is I say, please cleanse the house of all energy, including all the electricity and electronics. And you just picture white currents going through all the wiring in your house. I've cleared people's plumbing before because they kept having toilets back up. They had all these things and we just cleared the plumbing. And I don't know why negative energy settled in there, but it had. And so just clear everything. And then from that clean space, just feel, is the universe trying to show me something? Is my spirit trying to steer me in a different direction? I used to have this weird signaling system where I would send an email that was reactionary. Like somebody would send me something. I'd be like, are you kidding me? You really think that's a reasonable request? Right. And I'm all ready to fire off my email and my lights would blink. And then I'd go, no, this is a good email. And I'd hit send and it wouldn't send. And that was my spirit saving me from myself. So now I've learned when the lights blink, I go, hold on, let me just save this as a draft and come back to it later. And most of the time I'm like, yeah, that was a softer way to say it. Or yeah, I was being reactionary or whatever that is. But the universe does try to save us from ourselves at times.
Yes.
And we just don't pay attention.
It's so hard to do, but think of it just as an experiment. Yeah. Just try once and see if it calms the energy down. And it intuitively does make sense because we're charging up all of this energy negative and the anxiety. And that's obviously what we're getting more of.
Sometimes it's hard to notice, oh, I'm just coming at this in a more frenetic way because we think we're problem solving because our ego mind's going, just try harder, just do more.
And we've 1,000%. Got all
these rationalizations built in that justify that kind of grinding it out faster and harder, not paying attention to the fact, yeah, but it's actually getting me further away from where I want to go. So taking that moment to just feel into what's actually happening right now, where do I want to go next? When I have clients who do that and they say, wow, what came to me was what I want to do next is call this person, which didn't feel at all like what I wanted to do. And here they happen to be giving away their iPad or something that just was so weird that your spirit can sometimes be offering you these great solutions, but we're not taking the minute to hear it.
Oh, yeah. And you're just explaining my whole morning. If you can see my office right now, I have
cords everywhere.
Cords everywhere, all of these little gadgets. That was exactly what I was doing. And my husband was helping him. We just thought, you work harder, you'll get this monitor working. And we just had to throw our hands up to your point and get quiet and be like, we're just going to make it simple for right now. Solution will come. And we're here. I can see you.
Okay. I have one last question for you. Around earlier, you said you can't really influence other people's energy, but you can send them positive energy, correct?
You can send somebody what I call love and light, which sounds like prayers and condolences. It gets trite after a while, but you can send somebody love and light. And by that, the best wishes you can have for them. I hope the universe sends them the most loving energy that God can send them. But I'm not taking responsibility for this person feeling better right now. So I won't do energy work on somebody without their consent or without their request, because I don't want to interfere in whatever their karmic journey is. And before I'm completely booked out now for private sessions, but before I take somebody for a private session there, I always say, you could email me and say, can you get anything on this symptom? And they send me a selfie and a couple sentence description. And a lot of times I'll hear their spirit say, no, I really want her to work with this great acupuncture. She's going to meet her in about 6 months. Then if I don't have a role to play, I don't accept them for a session because my job is to not interfere. And so I always say, do I have a role to play here? And likewise with somebody that I can see who's telling this whole story about how awful their boss is and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, okay, but I can see how you're contributing to that, right? I don't want to just make her problem go away by sending her positive energy and then everything feels good. I know she's in that learning curve. And so I will send somebody light to surround them and help them influence them, but I wouldn't put positive energy into somebody because again, I can't change the experience for them.
Thank you. That's a great clarifier.
Yeah, it is. And I feel like what we've discussed today is so empowering for everybody, no matter where you are. And it's so easy. And even for myself, who I very much schooled in this now over many years, and I forget. So the reminders and then the simplicity that you have given us today is so beneficial and it's life-changing.
Thank you. I always say that it's as complicated as we need it to be. Once you have the understanding, then using visuals, I will use a visual like standing on a mountaintop, or I'll do a visual of lying in a stream on a little bed of pebbles and just my face is sticking out of the water and I'm flushing myself through. If I've been somewhere like a hospital, there's so much fear, I'll flush myself through like that. The point of the visual is to help you hold the same intent for a period of time. So you don't have to have a certain visual. You don't have to use certain words. You just have to be clear on how you direct the universe of what you want energetically. And you're in partnership with the universe. You're not trying to control the universe, but you also don't want to be at the whim of whatever thing you cloud you walk through of negative energy at the supermarket, right? So it's understanding that it's this working partnership between you and your spirit and the universe and the energies that are out there. And then you start co-creating in a way that makes sense, that feels empowering. I've had a lot of people, as I've been on podcasts, send me emails and say, oh my God, I learned these complicated rituals for how I had to cleanse space. And now I just do what you said, and it works just as well. And I'm like, it can be as complicated as you want it to be, right? A lot of people feel like they need to have the whole ritual and burn the sage, and you can, but you don't need to.
And I can't wait to pass this on to my daughter when she goes to school or wherever she's going, but really on a right. daily basis, she too is empathic. And so I know when she's texting me from school because she's feeling a certain way, it's yep. most likely because she's picking up on other people's energy.
So I'd have her put herself in a protected bubble, cleanse the energy in the bubble. And then what's left, honey, you're generating. Now, it could be that you're feeling angsty because your girlfriend just told you her whole angsty story, but it's still your thoughts. And then that's yours to manage. But that teaches to me, I think teaching teenagers that accountability, they tend to be like, this teacher is in a bad mood and now all of us are in a bad mood. I'm like, because you choose to be, right? Don't keep it going. Put yourself in a bubble, cleanse the space. Kids will get a lot of test anxiety. They have to put themselves in a protective bubble when they go in to take an exam, because there's naturally going to be lots of people who have test anxiety in there, feeling like they didn't prepare enough, feeling guilty, feeling shame, whatever that is, you got to shield yourself from that so you're not negatively impacted, right? So it's understanding how you can protect yourself. Then you get the benefits of being energetically sensitive without the negatives.
So good. So Christine, what is the best way for people to work with you right now? Because we know you are booked up for the year.
Yes, private sessions are really hard to come by, but I've started something called small group sessions. They're limited to 12 people. It's 2 hours. Everybody's guaranteed to get channeled messages from their spirit. We do group healing exercises, and I help people try to hear messages from their own spirit. Those, we add more of those each month. And I think one just got added to this on Mother's Day. And then every month I teach a class called Your Energy Matters. And it's $25. It's really inexpensive. So people can join, and we cover everything that impacts your energy. So the class for April is going to be about the energy of your relationships and how that impacts your energy, which we may be on that topic for 6 months, but it's all of your relationships. That's one of the biggest determinants of how good our energy feels each day. So understanding the dynamics of that is what we're going to start exploring next month.
And Karen and I have both attended those monthly sessions, and they are so good. So we highly recommend. And you can visit christinelang.org to get all of that information and to sign up. And then if you missed our first podcast with Christine, which dives into her background and the medical intuitive aspect of her work, we'll have the link to that in our show notes as well. You can also follow Christine on Instagram at Christine_Lang. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you guys for having me.